Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we are doing the biggest Bravo winners and losers of 2025 so far. And to help me break it all down, as usual, is Dylan Hafer. Dylan hosts the excellent Bravo podcast over at Betches called Mention It All. Go check that out if you don't already, but I'm assuming if you listen to this, you probably listen to that one as well. Dylan is a good friend of mine, and he comes on the show every 6 months where we will do a mid-year and an end-of-year picks of our winners and losers of the year. So right now we're doing sort of a mid-year assessment of Bravo. We each pick three winners and three losers, and I added a new category this time for something that we're sort of undecided about. It's unclear if it's going to be a winner, unclear if it's going to be a loser. And so we do that at the end of the episode as well. We have a really good conversation, and I think we honestly covered most of our bases. Obviously, not every show is on and not every show has aired yet this year. It obviously skews more towards the ones that are airing. But I think we talk about most of the biggest sort of hot button topics from the Bravo sphere from 2025 so far. So always a really fun exercise to sort of, you know, take stock of what's gone down so far in the year. And I think you'll really enjoy this conversation. So keep listening for the biggest winners and losers of Bravo so far in 2025 with Dylan Hafer. Check out his podcast, Mention It All, wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll see you next week. I want to gab. All right, today we're gabbing with Dylan Hafer, host of Betch's amazing Mention It All podcast, all about Bravo. He's been on before. He's back for our mid-year Bravo winners and losers of the year so far. We do this every 6 months. So Dylan, thanks for coming on. I always look forward to doing these. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be back. Since we started doing this a couple of years ago, I've kept all of our info from each time in the same note on my notes app. So I try not to repeat myself too much, but also it's interesting to see like where we were in the past versus maybe some things have changed.
When you were looking at the 6 months ago stuff from the end of 2024, did anything jump out at you as being interesting? As Drew and Phaedra would say.
Nothing that I feel like I'm like, wow, I feel stupid from 6 months ago. I feel like because we have a different set of shows that have been on in the beginning of this year, a lot of the winners and losers have sort of refreshed a little bit. But one thing that stuck out at me is one of my losers at the end of last year was the Real Housewives of New Jersey cast. And I was thinking about them as I was making my notes for today. And I'm like, there's just been news.
Yeah. And it's almost like they're not a win at this point. Like they're just there, you know, it's just not even.
I'm like, the longer that Melissa and Teresa and Margaret stay off of Bravo, does it make it less complicated for them to come back at some point? Or does it make it just like, I don't know.
I know. Can we just stop caring? I know. Yeah, so the temperature and the noise is so low on them, you know, which is. And also for people listening. So basically we'll do three winners and three losers each. And I've added another thing. Cause as I was thinking about this, there was a couple things that popped into my mind. And I was like, you know, this is a relevant thing or person, but I'm not sure if it's a winner or loser yet. You know, kind of there's some things that are up in the air about certain shows or people. So we're adding another sort of like undecided to be determined pick at the end. But I came overprepared as per usual. So like there is one that I might mention that has to do with Jersey, but we'll see. Dylan. As my guest, you get to pick where we start and you get to go first.
Okay. I'm gonna start with the positive. And my first winner is the Women of Summer House. Yeah. I feel like
totally
Summer House is a show that obviously in its almost a decade on the air has evolved a lot. And I feel like over the last couple of years, there's been sort of a growing like sentiment of wanting to see these people's lives outside of just a handful of weekends in the Hamptons every year. And I think that I understand why Bravo has taken their time with shifting anything with the format, with moving people to a spinoff. Obviously, you don't want to kind of overplay your hand or make the move too soon. But I think after this most recent season, more than ever, people are looking at Lindsay having a baby and saying, would it make sense for her to be in the summer house? Maybe not. Looking at Paige, who just left the show really on a high, what could her next potential move with the network be? People like Amanda and Sierra, who have been on the show for a long time and mm-hmm. feel like sort of part of the family in that way. And I think more than ever, but it's been kind of a steady upward trajectory in the last few years. I think all four of the women that I just mentioned, really four. they all feel like people that Bravo fans are actively excited to keep following, whether or not they're still on Summer House forever.
100%. Can I just ask, why do you feel differently about the men?
I think that the men, first of all, I think, yes, I do feel differently about the men, because you have West and Jesse, who I think have been really strong additions mm-hmm. to Summer House, but both have only been on for two seasons. And I think it feels like they haven't, their expiration date on Summer House could be a long way away. And then other than that, you just have Kyle and Carl. And I do think that people are slightly less attached to them as personalities. And I think also just on sort of a more macro note, in the reality TV landscape, there's just like less of an interest in following middle-aged men than, their hotter,
for sure,
younger female counterparts.
It's like Kyle without Amanda, I think you lose a lot of the viewer interest potentially.
Yeah. In following and that. I think, I saw someone on Twitter the other day be like, here's my idea. Why don't they make The Valley NYC? And it's like, okay, well, The Valley is a geographic location in Los Angeles.
I get the idea. Right, exactly.
But that's the thing. I think if they did a show like that, obviously you would still see Kyle. Mm-hmm. They could figure out a way to have Carl, pop in here and there. But the women are the ones whose stories care about. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. All right. That's a great way to start. I think my first winner, I think I'm going to do the spinoffs of Bravo shows, because it feels like, I feel like maybe the first time we did this was sort of around the time that Ultimate Girls Trip was maybe in flux. Mm-hmm. And it kind of feels like they've kind of abandoned that idea, at least for the time being. But at the same time, it's like this interesting thing where they still kind of feel like they're going all in on spinoffs of some of their biggest shows. Like, we have Love Hotel, which all in all was like very well received and seems like they'll do again. Wife Swap, they're trying new formats and like Wife Swap and different things. The Valley Persian version, like they are spinning off The Valley already, which is basically like, it just feels like this kind of spinoff idea is a focus for them as sort of a network and a brand. I think probably for Peacock purposes, but also to incorporate a lot of the old talent that, like, it's kind of hard to find places for them to land. And like Traitors is like the hottest ticket in town to be cast on still. And so I just mm-hmm. think that like we're in this landscape where I feel like there are so many options for these people and it's not really going away. And I think some of those other shows, like on other networks, like Special Forces and all those other things, like those are with every passing month less interesting. You know what I mean? It's more about this sort of Bravo adjacent spinoff for me.
Yeah, it's so interesting to talk about those other spinoffs. Like one of the ones that I was thinking about was House of Villains. And yeah. I noticed, interestingly, they just announced the cast for season 3 of that show. And it's moving from being an E! Original to, I think, being a Peacock.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that show will be able to capture any of the Traitors, Love mm-hmm. Island, USA kind of zeitgeist, because I think maybe you could watch it on Peacock before, but it wasn't something that they were really spotlighting as much on the streaming service. And so knowing that it's going to be living there, I imagine that they'll be giving kind of an additional boost to it, because E! Is kind of a no man's land right
totally.
Now. So
yeah, I think you're right. All right, Dylan, who is your first loser of the year
so far? Okay, so to go with the women of Summer House, my first loser is the men of Southern Charm. It was tough out there. I think watching the season, it was really, really bleak for Shep Rose this year.
It was.
Just the whole situation with Sienna was,
dark. That was dark. Yeah.
Her little freckled lips.
Oh,
still haven't recovered. And then, I mean, the way that Craig has handled his public breakup with Paige, just it could have been so easy mm-hmm. and it could have been so chill. And I think he just made a couple of miscalculations of how things would be perceived and of how, you know, fans would kind of react to things. And I don't know, like, for somebody like him, he's been on this platform longer than Paige even has. And it's surprising to me that somebody in his position was kind of not able or willing to read the tea leaves a little bit more of how people would, you know, sort of ride the waves of this breakup. But I don't know. I mean, Southern Charm, I think, had a pretty good season. At least in my estimation, it was pretty entertaining. So I'm curious to see kind of how he bounces back maybe on his home turf. But
I know
it's rough for him in the larger Bravo universe.
I'm not going to do it because we don't repeat, but I had Southern Charm as a loser just because I felt, I think in comparison to Summer House, and this is sort of, I think, how we're talking about this, is like, it just feels like Summer House has these several big hooks that are sort of appealing to like a pretty broad spectrum of people. And like, it's even like beyond the Bravoverse, like there's like people were interested in the Paige and Craig thing, but kind of more during the Summer House season and from that lens versus like Southern Charm. It doesn't feel as zeitgeisty to me. It feels like if you watch Bravo, you watch Southern Charm. But the sort of flip side of that, I'm not sure. Like, if you ask some random person, they probably haven't heard. They probably have no idea what's going on besides Craig and Paige on that show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think to me, it feels like Summer House has really peaked in public interest the last 2 or 3 seasons. I think the Lindsay and Carl thing got a lot of attention. Obviously, Paige and Craig was a big storyline outside of just those mm-hmm. individual shows. I think that if you're being realistic, I think Southern Charm peaked in public interest 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, if you think about it, it was when T-Rav and Catherine were still on the show.
Yes.
It was that video of Austin
and Madison,
shouting
right,
Madison's name in his underwear.
I was thinking the same thing.
All of that stuff was 6-7 years ago. And I still like Southern Charm. I don't think it's like past its sell-by date, but it's not the zeitgeist the way that Summer House has been the last couple of years.
Totally. All right. So I'm not going to do that as my first loser. My first loser, I'm doing former Vanderpump Rule stars not named Ariana Maddox. Because I think when we were talking around the time that Vanderpump Rules ended and we were like, you know, the Valley was gearing up for its second season. And obviously there's so much natural crossover there. And I'm not somebody who has an issue with, you know, Sheena, Lala and Schwartz like being part of that show. Like they don't make an impact in either direction in that big of a way for me. But I do think that they kind of jumped onto that show too soon. I think they needed to take a season off from TV for the temperature around them to simmer down. Like people are still like have zero tolerance for Lala Kent. And Sheena still gets all the really low hanging fruit jokes made about her every time she's on screen. And it's like, again, I'm not there, but it seems like a lot of the audience is. And I just think that, I don't know if they jumped the gun or they should have waited till season 3 or what, but it just feels like this is the Valley is their sort of life raft in terms of reality TV existence. And I'm not sure, based on audience reaction, that they would be back in a bigger capacity for a third season. I mean, they're not on the reunion. You know, they're on the after show. I don't know. It's this weird thing with them, but they're still sort of in the losing boat less than a year after it got canceled.
I agree. It was tough at a couple episodes ago when Lala kind of made her first appearance and then mm-hmm. Sheena sort of like zooms into the scene and people were like, oh, she saw the camera and she scurried right over. And she like clapped back to it on Twitter being like, actually, it was a long scene and I offered plenty of stuff that just got edited out. And it's like, at a certain point, like, it's not making you look better to be on Twitter responding to the haters because they're saying she looks thirsty and then it kind of makes her look thirstier when she's like, no, actually, I was really involved. It's like, yeah, it's tough. It's not necessarily like a level playing field for them right now. And I think some time off would probably be smart.
Yeah, but I think they should have taken it before coming back. Like they missed the boat to take it. You know what I mean? Like now it's going to be almost involuntary because I don't foresee them again sort of
sinking their teeth deeper into the show immediately. That's where I'm at with them right now, unfortunately. I think the audience is, at least.
I feel that.
I know.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Okay, my second winner, I'm gonna stick with the non-housewives
okay.
themes that I've been going with, and I'm gonna say Southern Hospitality.
Okay, good pick.
A big winner in its third season, I think, really sort of leveled up in terms of how much people care broadly. It's really tough, we've seen, for new shows to really feel like they're, you know, must watch for Bravo fans, because there is just a lot to keep track of. But I think it's clear that the network really is excited about this show. We saw Leva announce her departure from Southern Charm and in the same post basically be like, but I'm
like, we're getting a third season, focusing, we're getting a fourth season. Yeah.
Right. Essentially. And I'm sure she was given sort of the green light to make that like subtle announcement. And yeah, it just seems like that's a show that Bravo's excited about. I think the viewers are increasingly excited about it. And it feels like they have a lot of gas in the tank with that cast right now. So the fact that they've had three seasons and a fourth is, you know, presumably probably filming this summer or something, like I think they have momentum, and I hope they can keep it moving forward.
Yeah. And I also think that, again, sort of in comparison to another show, I think that whenever the Vanderpump Rules reboot starts, like, I think that they're sort of pre-rejecting that. And I think in kind of an unfair way, probably, but like, when viewers are going to compare it to Southern Hospitality, I think that like Southern Hospitality is going to feel like the more OG veteran show in comparison to the Vanderpump Rules reboot in a way that's kind of hard to fathom, you know?
Yeah, it's like we didn't realize it at the time, but it's almost like they rebooted Vanderpump Rules 3 years ago in Charleston.
Totally.
Maybe we should have just focused on that one.
Uh-huh. All right, for my second winner, I'm trying to decide between two different Real Housewives franchises. And I think I'm going to go with The Real Housewives of Potomac, because even though their season wasn't even close to being their best season ever, but it was a marked improvement on the previous season. But the reunion felt like a breakthrough moment to a fairly new era, a new start for this show, where like they're very much not abandoning their the DNA of the show, and they still have OGs left. But like that reunion felt like, okay, they've unlocked something in this group dynamic with some of the new women, with Wendy and Giselle getting to a place where they can be shady but not take it too personally. And you know, we our group chat was talking a lot about Monique coming back, and like I think it's TBD on whether that's a good or bad thing, but I do think that like that coupled with everything that happened with Karen, like people are talking about Potomac in a way that I think is always good, whether that's a good or bad thing. Like if you're talking about a show, you're talking about it. There are some franchises that nobody should talk about. So Potomac just feels like I'm excited about it in a way that I haven't been in quite some time. And that makes it a winner for me.
Yeah, I feel like Potomac was sort of in like a, you know, sports teams have like rebuilding years for their rosters. And I feel like Potomac was struggling a little bit going into this season, and they needed some fresh legs. And I feel like the season itself was a little bit up and down. Honestly, the Mia circus with her family really was draining. And so the fact that she is leaving the end of the season, I think that is the right call, whether she was, you know, fired or decided that she wanted to spend more time in Atlanta in the back of the plane. But I think that coupled with the momentum from the reunion, I mean, that Stacey moment was just, I think that's like one of the most thrilling moments of Bravo, definitely this year.
Yes.
Watching, and I think obviously like kudos to the ladies for that, but also the way that they produced that episode in real time of, okay, we're going to bring Eddie out. The ladies chanting, bring Eddie out. We're going to, you know, watch the video on the iPhone, and Andy's watching it along with the rest of them. Like the way that they captured that,
yeah,
the energy of that moment, I think really elevated it. And yeah, I think going into next, I think it's like this season wasn't iconic, but the reunion was.
Yes.
And so I'm hoping that next season they'll be able to sort of capture that energy throughout the season.
Yes, 100%. All right, who is your second loser of the year so far?
My second loser has got to be Roni. I had to look up when they even finished their season, because I was like,
when was that?
I was like, was that in the fall? Was that like 12 months ago?
I couldn't tell you.
Like February that they finished. A whimper of a season. It was just like, I feel like after the first reboot season of Roni, I think you and I both thought it was like a decent season with, you know, potential with the cast. And unfortunately, they just like weren't able to build on that momentum at all. Mm-mm. And I think I feel pretty strongly that their second season was weaker than their first.
I agree.
And I think, you know, the pregnancy prank thing with Rebecca and Aaron, really, that did a lot to just sort of ruin the audience buy-in with the group. And then the situation with Bryn and Uba at the end of the season really just put such a damper on what little energy they did have. So yeah, I mean, I don't think that Roni as a franchise is over, but I do think really, you know, it sucks for, you know, casting and everyone to really feel like they have to go back to the drawing board again.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I feel like after that first season, they had the momentum and they just went the complete opposite direction I wanted them to go in. You know, that is everything about it was just like, to me, the wrong decisions, production-wise and cast-wise, just so much of it. Do you think we'll get more announcements like Bryn's announcement that she was leaving? Do you think we'll get more of that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because like I've seen people, obviously Bryn wrote this whole thing about how she's focusing a lot more on her dating app because it's hitting download milestones and whatever. And then people kind of trying to like get like this scoop that it's like, oh, she said she was leaving, but actually her contract wasn't renewed. And it's like, tale as old as time.
Welcome to the fucking party.
To me, it's not like scandalous when somebody chooses to frame their departure as their choice. Like that's kind of par for the course. The ones who have said that they're fired are, you know, few and far between.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I don't have any sense of where they are in contracts happening, in casting new people, in maybe bringing back some old people as a lot of fans really want to see. I have to imagine that at least a couple other people will not be brought back. But that's the thing. It's like, is Jenna Lyons going to post a Notes app screenshot on her Instagram being like, I've decided to focus on my lash company? Like, I don't think, it feels like she forgot she was even on Housewives. And so I don't know, like, I'm almost wondering if it's just like silence for six more months and then we get a cast announcement.
If Jenna Lyons doesn't, let's say she does leave the show and we never get an announcement from her,
yeah, like
on her Instagram, that, you know, we talked about the few people that have said they were fired. She'd be one of the few that didn't acknowledge it on social media.
Yeah.
You know,
we'll just see her in a red carpet in like 2 years and somebody asks her about it. And she's like, oh, yeah. I don't know what happened with that. That's so funny. You should bring that up. I don't even remember. I don't even know.
I think I ate my
Did they do another season?
You're so right. That's good. That's what's going to happen. I'm with you on Roni being a loser. All right. My second loser. I was going to do the whole franchise, but then I'm picking out one particular person. And I think it's going to be Kyle Richards as a loser from Beverly Hills. And I almost did Erica and I almost did the whole show. But I think Rachel Zoe being cast on Beverly Hills has sort of single-handedly made that not a loser for me, because it is a big point of intrigue, I would say, for the show. But I just think that Kyle, I feel like I have a higher tolerance for her and her, what people view as like her BS, than like the general audience might at this point. But I still am like, girl, like, she just hasn't proved to me that she can, that she like knows what people want from her, can read the room right now. Like, that, I think she's lost a lot of perspective. And I was a pretty big advocate of her taking this next season off and to come back after a season, but just to take some time away, make some big decisions for yourself without the cameras and the pressure of the public scrutiny. But I just don't think she can do that, and Bravo will never fire her. So, but like, the news that she's coming back, Andy just confirmed the other day, it was met with like a lot of negativity. And I'm trying these days to not like go completely by what the online audience is saying, but it's like pretty universal. So it's pretty hard to ignore sort of the negative cloud around her. I just don't know how she's going to get out from under that in another season without giving some big answer. But it's like, I'm kind of tired of waiting for big answers from her.
Yeah. The way she handled the whole situation with Dorit and the texting PK was pretty baffling to me as somebody who's been on this show since mm-hmm. day one. You would just think she would be a lot more savvy about handling a situation like that on camera on a show, let alone just like being a good friend.
but that was
kind of frustrating to watch. And then again, yeah, like really just sort of seeming so opaque about what's really going on with her personal life and what is or isn't happening with Morgan, and the way she acted like it was our fault for being curious about what's happening with Morgan when she,
totally.
I mean, Andy told her, she brought Morgan on the show. We wouldn't be talking about Morgan if Kyle hadn't introduced us to her. So it's, yeah, it just, again, it's like sort of similar to some of the Craig stuff I was bringing up. It's like, you've been on this show for 15 years. How do you not know or anticipate the way that some things are going to be received?
Right.
And I don't know. I think it's like she lost the plot a little bit.
Yeah. That points to not being able to tell the forest from the trees. And I'm just like,
yeah,
take yourself out of that forest for a season. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's frustrating because I really do like Kyle. Like I really appreciate her. I just think that she's at this moment where it's like, she should have made a different decision for herself this year.
Yeah. And to what you were saying about the reaction to her return, I would say at this point, it feels like she's like a permanent icon OG, but
totally.
She's not really a fan favorite right now.
No, and she was for a little bit there, and
yes,
or for a while there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the kind of thing where, you know, you go to BravoCon and that's not that's definitely not going to be the feeling in the room.
Her
you know?
Photo op line will be plenty long.
1,000%. I just think that like it's sort of tarnishing her right now, and it's kind of tough to watch.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands for the super athletic stuff, like running gear for cruising up the trail.
Woo!
And the super athlete-ish stuff, like fishing gear for chilling by the creek. Nice cast. Fitness apparel to push for higher reps. You got this. And golf balls priced so you can afford to lose one. Or a few. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts, gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
Dylan, who is your third and final winner so far for 2025?
My third and final winner, I was torn between two, but I want to, okay, the one that I was originally going to do, you sort of touched on a little bit in the spinoff, so I'm just going to give a shout out to the Shaw's OGs for really sticking with it. I don't know what layers of development hell their next chapter went through, but the Valley Persian style, I'm excited to see it. And it feels like they finally got the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But what I'm actually going to go with is the Real Housewives of Atlanta, because again, you know, I assume that when you said Potomac, you were deciding between the two.
I was.
They, you know, it's a rebuilding year for them. We have three full newbies, one elevated newbie with Shamia, who has just been, I think, you know, kind of the MVP of the season unexpectedly. I think keeping Cynthia around as a friend of was an excellent decision, mm-hmm. especially with all the new faces. And I think, you know, production and the editors and everyone who were able to navigate the Kenya situation, which really could have been just the wheels falling off the season. And I think, you know, in the fan community, in the, you know, creator community, I feel like when we saw that happening in real time last summer, it was like, oh my God,
yeah,
they were trying so hard.
Yeah.
And then it's all down the drain. And, you know, we have, I think, a few episodes left in the season, and it's safe to say it's not all down the drain. It's been a really strong season, and, you know, Phaedra's only been back for a few weeks, so I didn't want to give like heap too much praise on her, because I think we're still sort of waiting to see how she gels with this group on more than just a surface level. But overall, it's just been a really enjoyable season.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with Potomac, where it's like people are talking about it. You know, like people feel really strongly about Portia and Either Direction. They feel strongly about Phaedra coming back in Either Direction. Like Britain, Kenya obviously was a very divisive topic it's still being talked about. So, and like, I just think it's a good sign when a show is being discussed. Like I wasn't talking about Atlanta for like most of 2024. You know, like that was not, other than when we heard that thing from filming, like it wasn't a show that we were thinking about that much. And now it's a show that I think about all the time.
Yeah. Also, in terms of Portia, I feel like obviously there are still people who don't love her, but I feel like she's been much better received this season than her last season that she was on Real Housewives of Atlanta, where she seemed just a little bit checked out, kind of a little bit too cool for school. Like, just a little over it. This year, obviously her divorce has been, you know, a big thing for her to go through, but you know, her relationship with Shamia is very compelling. Mm-hmm. Her ongoing issues with Drew are just kind of,
yeah,
I don't know,
hilarious.
But I'm just enjoying it, and most of the episodes this season of Atlanta, I'm just having fun. And mm-hmm. I think that is an underrated quality sometimes in Housewives, because people love drama, they love scandal. And so do I, but yeah, it's just, other than a few key moments, it's just been like a good time.
Totally. And like, you know, two out of three of the true new additions to the show, like being stars that I want to see for at least 5 years, literally, like that's a really good batting average.
Angela girl, stay on that show till you get divorced. I can't wait to see it.
You have two Fangelas right here. Uh-huh. Oh, all right. So for my last winner, I'm just going to do it because I alluded to it, and I think I should follow it through. And this is kind of a random person just call out, but to me, Dolores Catania is the one person from Jersey who feels like in an elevated, promising spot sort of in different ways. She literally won the Traitors by accident. You know, like she wasn't supposed to win that show and she did. She feels like the one person on Jersey who like would probably be the safest bet to come back. And now there are rumors that she's like somehow involved in the Rhode Island spinoff that she's like been alluding to. And I just think that, and she's on two teas in a pod every single week. And like, so she's just like, to me, she weird.
Is she?
Yeah, she recaps with Tamara all the time. I think she started filling in for Teddy during a lot of her treatment. And like, she's on all the time. And like, I don't listen to two teas, but I always see clips. And
clearly
like,
I don't either.
Yeah, but I just think that Dolores has sort of, I don't know how much it was like accidental or sort of on purpose, but she's found herself into this like really, really good position, like where I could see her getting like more and more opportunity from the network. Even if Jersey continues to be on ice, like Dolores is it, I think, right now for that show in a weird way.
Yeah. It's kind of like a Luann position to be in right
totally.
Now. Because like Luann is somebody who hasn't had like a home franchise for a few years, but it's like, oh, she'll be on a girls trip. She'll be on Love Hotel. She did Crappy Lake. She's like, she clearly is still kind of like on the roster in a way. And I think that, yeah, Dolores feels like somebody that it makes sense to me that they wouldn't really want to like let her go too soon. Another person, I mean, seeing Dorinda officially back for a redo on Traitors, I think that speaks also to like kind of the network, or you know, I guess the larger corporation sort of like seeing the conversation and giving people what they want a little bit. That it's like Dorinda was somebody that people were super excited about for Traitors season 3, and we barely got any of her. And so I think that's like decisions like that are smart, where it's like, okay, yeah, like that is actually like, that's fan service in a good way.
Yeah. And it's this funny thing where it's like, I think Dolores always got criticized for playing the middle, but sometimes that does pay off. And I think that neither side of the equation and that fandom hates her. You know what I mean? Like she is a pretty much universally beloved person, you know, as close as you can get in this landscape. And
completely.
I just like was thinking about, I was like, damn, like she's playing it right. She really is.
I don't mean to be rude to Polly, but I wish she was single so she could go on Love
Hotel. I know.
Hotel.
I was thinking that too. I was like, when you said Luann, I was like, if Dolores was single, she would be the star of season 2.
She would eat up Love Hotel season 2.
Absolutely. Oh my God. All right, Dylan, who is your final loser so far of the year?
Okay. To go along with Atlanta as a whole being a winner, I have to single out somebody in the cast as a loser, and that is Ms. Britt Eady, the insurance icon of ATL. Just what a way to fumble the bag. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think our friend Abby, I think, put it in the group chat that she just like has no idea how to be a real friend to anyone. And the most recent episode when they were in Grenada and she was like being criticized for, you know, not having enough compassion for people and not like being sincere and authentic. And then later that night, Shamia is, you know, getting this, you know, upsetting news about her daughter's, you know, health situation. And everybody's, you know, just, I would say, doing like a normal level of comforting and whatever. And Britt drops in and gives this like soap opera performance of, we are going to be there for you and we got your back. And that's what sisterhood is. It's like very like quad web, like real friendship. And it was such clownery. And this was happening just days after Britt had skipped the reunion and then filed her $20 million lawsuit against the network, while also posting on social media that the photo that Kenya shared on the poster board, turns out Britt says it wasn't actually a photo of her. She just thought it was from the way it had been described. Like, it just feels like she's somebody who thinks she's playing like 3D chess right now, but I don't actually think
she's
very good
checkers.
At whatever game this is.
Yeah.
And I mean, people weren't liking her on the season to begin with. Now it seems like she's sort of, you know, shit the bed on her way out the door. And I feel like she's just going to be really forgotten about after this season, considering that Kelly and Angela are strong newbies. Shamia is, you know, a great addition. Phaedra is doing well. I imagine Portia will stick around if she wants to. Like, Atlanta's pretty much set for next season. If you just clip Britt out of the picture, it doesn't really feel like you're losing anything because she's not friends with anyone.
No. And I think that, like, she would have been third place finisher for those three total newbies, regardless of this flame out that she had. But, like,
yeah,
going back to the reunion, and she could have come in so, like, prepared with, like, certain canned answers, but, like, those canned answers could have been pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, if she had the right people around her or something. But she, I mean, I think a lot of it obviously had to do with this picture thing, but, like, she just... You're right. None of the games you think she's playing, she's made all the wrong moves. She's not playing it well.
Gibson, don't you dare offer her a shot. I just was like, girl, if you don't want to take the shot, just don't take the shot.
I know. And like that one moment where Phaedra and her in the back of that van, and Phaedra's like, Phaedra told Britt what she needed to hear the first episode. She summed up her issue so well. She was like, you're looking for issues at every turn. Like, that is not... That's not how you break into a group. Like, and that's exactly what she was doing with Kenya at the beginning of the season, was looking for issues and, like, you know, taking things so personally. And it's just, she wasn't built for this. She didn't know how to do this.
Yeah, it says a lot that Phaedra, who essentially joined the cast on the Grenada trip, was able to clock that so quickly.
Yeah.
And give, I think, some really, sound advice that just came a little too late for Britt. And also, I think Britt just, like, probably didn't quite have the capacity to apply that advice. Ironic a little bit. I think Phaedra maybe could have used that advice on the Married to Medicine cast a little
absolutely,
bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my God.
She didn't really want to be there either.
No. It absolutely is wild how she got by with two seasons of, like, not sharing anything and just, like, clearly being one foot out the door waiting for that call. You know what I mean? Like, it was, she was on hold, basically, but, like, on camera at the same time. So, I mean, just continuing the conversation, I think that my third loser of the year is Kenya, because I think that, I mean, there's not much else to be said, but it's just, like, Kenya is just, like, this star that's so one of one. Like, she's in this top echelon of people who have ever been on Bravo for the past decade and a half. And she's found herself in this, like, one of the most unfortunate positions that you can find yourself in. And, like, you know, she tweeted that apology the same day the reunion taped when it came out that Britt wasn't there. And it was, like, I think clearly getting ahead of the lawsuit news the next day, where she apologized and she was like, I look forward to being back on Bravo soon. It's like, I think that's her saying that without any sort of substantial thing to back it up. Like, I don't think she's going to be back on Bravo soon. I think that she's off for a while from my perspective. And I hate to say that because I would love to see her back next season. But I just don't. The way that even Andy navigates talking about Kenya on Watch What Happens Live feels very avoidant. And just, it's just sad, honestly, the whole thing with her. And I don't think she's actually being sued by Britt personally, but she's still on the other end of that, you know?
Yeah, I saw some, like, sentiment among people, because I think, like, obviously, people haven't been loving Britt this season. And so I think it's easy to have the sort of dichotomy in your mind that it's like, wow, we had to lose Kenya so we could have this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Kenya lost herself. Like, yeah. Kenya totally brought that upon herself. And I think that I saw some people being like, oh, Britt leaving the show, presumably, clears the path for Kenya to return. And I think that
it could.
I think that there's an element of that somewhere, but I don't think it's like, I think it's like one little cog in the machine, yeah, a couple layers down. Like, I don't think that it is, okay, now Kenya's, you know, getting a peach mailed to her house next week and she's going to be welcomed back with open arms for filming, you know, in a few months. Like, I think that there is certainly a possibility that Kenya will return to Real Housewives of Atlanta at some point.
Yes.
But I think that I think that because this season has been quite strong as a whole, to me, that makes it less likely that they'll extend that olive branch to Kenya next season.
Yeah.
Because they don't really need her right now.
Yeah.
I want to see Kenya at some point in the future. I could see her, honestly, I feel like it could be more likely that in a season or two, she gets asked to do Traitors. And if she goes on Traitors and is well received, maybe then she gets back on whatever the next season of Atlanta that's filming. I think that for them to give Kenya back a peach right now, I think it would still be controversial enough that it's probably not worth it.
Yeah. And it's like the idea of seeing Kenya, Portia, Phaedra, Cynthia on a show together. And then like also having Kelly and Angela, they're like, that is like, I have chills. Like, I want that so badly, you know, in an alternate universe. I'm so curious, like, let's say Britt had announced 2 weeks before the reunion that she wasn't coming. She was suing, whatever. Like, I wonder if did Britt pull out so last minute that like there was no possibility they could even consider inviting Kenya, because they clearly didn't want them both there. You know, sort of like it, kind of like a Sheena Raquel situation. Like, let's keep them as far apart as possible. But like, I just so wonder, like, if Britt had dropped out a little bit earlier in like the production schedule of it all. But maybe it still would have been too soon. I don't know.
I also don't know, like. Because there's an element of it that is like, the cast dynamics and the audience perception. And there's an element of it that's literally like HR investigation, whatever.
Totally.
And so like from a more, corporate perspective, like they might not want Kenya on the NBCU airwaves for X amount of months. There might be, this is just like me talking off
total speculation. Yeah.
Whatever. But like, there could also be some sort of like an agreement that Kenya like is essentially in timeout for X amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, she promised to do that confessional series on her YouTube. I'm pretty like, I've only seen one of that initial one. So I don't even know if we got a second one, and I think that her curtailing that sort of, to me, signals some back channeling of like, don't go there, Kenya, because like, if you say too much, like that's again sort of, that's a slippery slope to not being having any chance.
At a certain point too, it's like I thought it was frustrating in those first handful of episodes that they weren't showing any confessionals from Kenya, because it just feels like you're only getting
one side,
like two-thirds of the story or whatever. But especially like after her leaving the season, it's like the more you keep talking about it, the thirstier you look. It's kind of like same like what you're talking about with like Vanderpump Rules cast, like trying to insert themselves in the valley. It's like, just do your time, go away.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, her going away is probably the fastest recipe for her to be like welcomed back.
That's the best way to put it. Absolutely. Be like a pop star. Just disappear between,
between eras.
Yeah, exactly.
When is KM6 dropping?
Stream it. All right, Dylan, the new category of something that we're undecided about, could be a winner, could be a loser, to be determined. Who's your pick for that? What's your pick for that?
Okay, so this might be obvious. I went with the most recent show to debut on Bravo, which is Next Gen NYC.
Okay.
There are only two episodes in. I think that this is a show, it's hard for any brand new show to, like I talked about with Southern Hospitality. We've seen The Valley really, I think, sort of break that mold the last couple of years. It's hard for a new show to really pop out on Bravo. It doesn't happen super often. And Next Gen NYC is a really interesting, it's an interesting mix. It's funny because there's been a certain amount of speculation or rumors online about some of the process of development and casting of this show, that it was originally going to be a pretty different group of more non-Housewives kids, and that some of the original cast decided not to do the show when they cast like Ariana and Gia on it, because they didn't like the direction that it was going in, that it was maybe going to be a little bit more of like an NYC prep kind of crowd. And you still see people like Ava and Charlie on the show that I think were sort of in that original mix. I don't know how much of that is accurate in terms of like, oh, we're not doing this show because these Housewives kids are there. But it's funny because after these first couple episodes, the sentiment I'm seeing is pretty universal that Ariana Bierman is
the star.
The breakout.
Yeah,
the star.
Absolutely.
people are really liking her energy. I think she's been really smart in how she has both distanced herself a little bit from her mom and commented on some of the chaos that's going on with her, but at the same time not seeming like, oh, you know, she's saying that her parents basically stole the money that she earned when she was a minor. But at the same time, like, it's not like she's like, oh, fuck my mom, she's the worst person in the world. It's like, it's really complicated. It's a tough situation. And I think she's navigating that really well. You know, some of the other randos, for lack of a better word, on the show, we'll see. I don't know if I care yet. It's too early to tell, but
I'm with you.
We'll see. I could easily see this show being a one and done that everybody forgets about. And I could easily see it, you know, picking up some steam and getting a second season, and maybe they bring in a couple more people we recognize, and I could see it going either way. I just don't.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think the premiere was stronger than the second episode was, but I think that, like, so it's totally like, let's see the rest of the season kind of deal. I think Ariana, you know, she was smart to lead with and get ahead of anything. Like, she led with the messiness. She led with, I'm being brutally honest, like good, bad, and the ugly about my life. Like, I'm not, because I think that the issue with a show like this is, like, it could feel like people are sort of being, trying to be somebody they're not, or like live a life they don't have. And that's, people see right through that. And then I think also with the other Housewives kids so far, like, I mean, even Gia, like, nothing, honestly, nothing against her, but like, she just doesn't, she kind of like does blanket statements about her mom's past and like things that have happened. She just like doesn't really fully, she won't go there. You know what I mean? Whereas like Ariana's going there.
That's the problem. I think with Gia is like, I don't think that it's anybody's job to go on TV and say that their mom is like a sociopath or whatever. But like, it does feel like, because Gia hasn't really broken out at all of the mindset of like team tree.
So true.
Like, it just feels like she's not really going to offer us anything different necessarily. And I certainly don't think that she's going to give us any insightful commentary on like, oh, like, you know, this guy that my mom is married to now has had some, you know, questionable accusations or whatever.
Like, she'd be so wise to do that.
Right, like, even if she wasn't going to be like, oh, Louis seems like a scammer, if she was just like, there's been a lot of conversation about it, mm-hmm. and that's hard to deal with, or that I want to make sure that my mom is making good decisions or whatever, like, it just feels like she sort of is still a little bit too, like, in the bag for
absolutely
for her mom. And I mean, similarly, I hate to say it, like, I think that Brooks is kind of like that too. Like, Meredith is literally in the premiere of the show in her like blonde Marla wig, whatever that is. Like,
that was
it feels like the Marks family seems a little bit too much like they're like part of the family business for it to really be that interesting on TV. But I don't know. I mean, like,
yeah,
none of these are like horrible things for a show. It just it makes sense that Ariana's getting a little bit more of the like attention because mm-hmm. she's just, it's more interesting.
Great pick. So I'm going to go with the other newly premiered Real Housewives of Miami, because I think in my book, it's always a winner. That is, I think, up there with Salt Lake City is the best franchise in the game right now. Like, they just, that premiere was fucking amazing. Like, I just loved that episode. On the other hand, they didn't even get to watch What Happens Live after the premiere. Like, there's something, and I think that this summer is really exciting for Miami because it's going to be on, I guess, that and OC will be the two Housewives on this summer. And that's a really good opportunity for people to like, who haven't given it a chance for some reason, to like really give it a chance and to be part of the bigger conversation that for some reason, like, I don't know why it's not. I just don't understand what the disconnect is. I really don't. Like, the ratings were low, and I know we don't go by overnight ratings anymore, but it does feel like it's sort of like a level down in the conversation. I don't know why. So I'm hopeful that it can have this a breakout summer, like, kind of to get back into the fold in the big way like that, you know?
Yeah, I was talking to somebody the other day who called Miami, I think, like, the Housewives fans' favorite Housewives franchise.
So true.
That it's like,
it
feels like everybody who watches everything agrees that Miami is cream of the crop, one of the strongest, but that most of the people out there who are more casual viewers watching maybe two or three Bravo shows. They're probably watching Salt Lake. They might watch Beverly Hills, or they mm-hmm. might have watched New York for a long time, or they're watching Summer House or Vanderpump or something. They're probably not watching Miami.
But, and like, why?
I know. I think that maybe because it got that reboot treatment as a Peacock original, which like, yeah, people have access to Peacock, but it was weirdly like this like siloed thing. And I think I've talked to multiple people who are like confused about, do they need to watch the original seasons or just the reboot ones? And like, how much does it matter? And can I just jump in here? And you know, there's those questions with every franchise, but yeah, I don't know. To me, the Watch What Happens Live is interesting. I think the fact that I don't know exactly what contributed to this, but even in the premiere, you see they do those kind of pickup scenes in April shortly after Alexia's divorce happens, which even that is not immediate. They're not like filming as the news drops. And then they skip ahead 5 months to where the actual like, clearly where they like really started filming for the season with, you know, Jody's birthday party. And it feels like a lot of time has elapsed and a lot of story has elapsed in the in-between. And I would be really curious to hear an explanation from like somebody on production or whatever of like why they didn't film at all over the summer. Because even something like the Julia and Gertie drama over this adoption announcement Zoom call that Gertie dropped from, it's like we're hearing about it in the past tense.
Yeah.
And all of Larsa and Marcus's breakup stuff, we're hearing about it in the past tense. And the way that Larsa and Lisa fell out, it clearly has already happened. And we're watching kind of like the next round of it. Mm-hmm. But it just feels like the premiere was exciting because there was so much to go through, but it felt like we were getting a lot of updates of stuff that had happened over the last 6-9 months since they last filmed. And I would just love to have seen more of that stuff happening in real time.
And when you're keeping the cast the exact same, I can't fathom the explanation, you know?
Exactly. And I think that was why, like, last spring, I remember feeling frustrated knowing that this stuff was happening, some of it, like the, you know, Alexia and Todd and Larsa and Marcus, and knowing that they weren't filming. Obviously, you know, they got a little bit of stuff, it seems like, in April. But just, like, yeah, those are always the questions where it's, like, it feels like such an obvious slam dunk that it's, like,
why?
I assume there's some equation of why that
wasn't
feasible, or they, you know, maybe there's something with the staffing or the crew. I don't know. But like, it just feels like a bummer because it seems like that would have been such a dynamite way to start
an opportunity for Miami too.
I want to see the fake breakup. Like, but yeah, I hope that Miami, you know, I have no reason to believe their quality level will dip this season.
Me
so
neither.
I hope that the attention level, you know, remains.
Increases. Yeah.
Yeah, increases. But I don't know. You're right. It does feel just a little bit more niche.
Yeah, which it shouldn't be at all. So if you're listening to this and you don't watch, change that.
Look, if you're trying to pick between Miami and OC, it's a lot less episodes to catch up on.
Exactly.
Miami.
That's the other one I tell people other than Salt Lake in terms of just like sheer volume. Well, Dylan, I think we honestly covered most of our bases here with these winners.
We
and
did. I was like the one loser that neither of us touched on, Taylor.
I guess we didn't really get deep into the valley, but I have a hard time talking about that show sometimes. So it's just
the Valley's a winner. Jax just is
totally. He's the shadow.
Seeming worse than ever before.
Absolutely. Well, Dylan, mention it all. It comes out several times a week, right? Like you're releasing all the time.
2 episodes a week. You can watch our Tuesday episodes with guests
on YouTube now. Yes, love.
The channel is always on. We have a bunch of different Betches channels. So it's youtube.com/@alwaysonbetches. You put the @ sign in a YouTube URL, I've learned.
I've learned that too.
But yeah, we have lots of fun guests happening over there. And then wherever you listen to podcasts, we have two episodes a week. The Tuesday ones are also on audio. And then Friday, I'm usually doing like a solo catch up of everything that's happened in the week. So fun times.
Love it. Listen to Mention It All wherever you're listening to this now. As always, thanks. And I'm sure the group chat will be going off this week about something. So we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gabe at Gabbing with Gabe on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gabe is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.